The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive.
This is profesh.
Yeah, right. Please, profesh.
Keep it profesh.
Okay, here we go.
Warning, this podcast contains strong language, which may be unsuitable for children, and stupid humor, which may be unsuitable for adults. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Welcome to the shit show.
Coming to you from the basement on a hill where our friends no longer eat with us since the cat hair in the ham incident. This is Scary as Shit, horror news and reviews for lovers. My name is Anthony and that's Kevin on the couch. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Tonight we have music from Hard Girls and a review of He Never Died. As always, we'll check out the headlines and we'll play the 7 Deadly Questions with our very special guests and our new friends, Elliot and Rachel Ross. How are you guys?
Doing really good. How are you, Anthony and Kevin?
Dude, I'm really great good. As well.
Oh, I'm happy for you.
We're all really good.
Nobody cares how you are, Elliot. It's fine.
Elliot, I care so much.
Yeah.
So much. So we just met. Is it weird, like, just coming over to someone's house and, like, just getting on the mics?
It is a little bit. You were like, hey, can you just go down into my basement? And
I'm going to say no. I like friends.
Well, okay. Yay. I'm a little bit less friendly,
well,
I guess.
Well, I mean, you know, at least you're here with your husband. You know, yeah. A woman showing up by herself, which we've had a few times. God bless them. They're brave.
They made it home safe.
This actually reminds, can I tell a really quick,
of course,
scary story?
Yeah, yeah.
Real life. About, I would say between 3rd and 4th grade, I moved in with my cousin, and we were mowing lawns for money so that we could go to the dollar store and buy juice or something. And this one guy, we go to his door, and he's like, yes, you may mow my lawn. And we mowed for him and everything, and we go back to his door, and we're like, okay, where's our $20? And he's like, oh, just follow me down to my basement.
Oh, boy.
And my cousin, without even hesitating, just steps right in the front door. And I'm panicked. I'm like, I know better. What are you doing? You should not be doing that right now. But this is the bravest moment of my entire life. I actually went in after him because I could not let him be alone. Goes down to his basement. Or he starts walking down to his basement.
Wait, hold, let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Is he in a bathrobe by chance?
No.
Okay, that's
good. No. He definitely lived alone, except for what he wanted to show him in the basement, which was his snake.
Of course.
I hold back so the guy is going in front of me. I get down there, and lo and behold, he's got terrariums everywhere.
Wow.
He actually has like 100 snakes. And he paid us, and we looked at a snake, and we left.
He paid you to look at his snake?
Yep.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it. All right. A lot of shit to get to tonight. Let's get to the nonsense immediately.
Dee, go break the ice.
What?
Yeah.
Why me?
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
Just go.
What the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to?
What the hell does this have to do with anything? Tell me what's happening!
What's wrong is the eye.
Why would I don't even know why you would say that. That
they made me feel self-conscious.
Did they?
Is it off-putting? It doesn't look real.
That skin tone is a good match. Oh, well, when you move the other one, I guess I can tell a little bit, if I'm being honest.
What the hell was that?
Free the Bulge! That's right, I said it. A hotel in New Zealand has implemented a new dress code that prohibits customers from wearing Lycra bicycle shorts. Quote, it's just a little unsuitable. We don't always want to see any unsightly bumps or bulges. We get a nice group of customers out here, some elderly folk. When you're trying to concentrate on your breakfast, you just want to see the sausages on your plate. End quote. Who here wears Lycra? I do all the time.
I'm wearing Lycra right now. I think it's sewn to my skin in a permanent yoga pant, actually.
I'm actually wearing Lycra underwear right now. But I'm not going to walk into a restaurant and be like, hey, can I get some eggs?
You know, you don't want to show off that bulge too much because it might give the women impure thoughts about you.
Well, I mean,
it's true.
Is it? Is it true? They might see me and think, oh, that poor man. His bulge is actually sagging a little. Dress code for a restaurant, I'm cool with. Anyone have a problem with not wearing bike shorts into a restaurant?
I mean, some restaurants require you to wear a jacket. So, I mean, I really don't see how that's any different.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as they're at least, you know, covering it. If you see the mystery underneath, you know, that's your problem.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. If you just happen to be well endowed and you're wearing some form-fitting clothing, I mean, women do that all the time. It's
I love
and
seeing
get chastised
big,
for it as well.
Oh, I was going to say, I like seeing a big penis on a woman. my bad. So when I read this, I immediately thought when my brother, who lives in New York City, is like within the first 6 months he was there, he's walking down the street and he sees this woman walking towards him and she's completely topless and just letting it hang. And like he turned to his friend after she walked by and he was like, did you see that? What the hell was that? And it's completely legal in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm sure it's legal many places. So, I mean, which, you know, society has its own problems. We constricted people to, you know, whatever. I don't,
yeah,
get
I don't
into
like
that.
Society.
Yeah.
Forget society.
I like penises and boobs. What can
yeah.
I say?
Unearthly horses.
I'm not dead.
Yeah. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not. He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
News of the dead.
You guys know what board games need?
Bulges.
Bulges! Soundtracks. Halloween music makers Midnight Syndicate announced this week that they'll be creating a soundtrack to go along with Twilight Creations board game Zombies. Edward Douglas, half of Midnight Syndicate, says that they're working closely with the Twilight team to create something that really enhances their players' gaming experience. Musically, it will be interesting to work in a modern setting. Most of our albums have been set in the Victorian and early 20th century, so this will be definitely something different and exciting for us and our fans. Do you guys listen to Midnight Syndicate at all? You ever heard of them?
No.
I have also not heard of them.
No. So it's like, I mean, it's just like Halloween music.
Oh, cool. So just Night on Bald Mountain on repeat?
Basically, yeah.
Okay, great.
I get into that.
It's okay. Like, I don't know. I listen to horror soundtracks all the time. Well, I used to at my other job, which I don't have anymore. But I don't know. I just find that music super interesting. And so anyways, these guys write some cool shit. And so I'm curious to see how, like, does the board game come with a, like a CD, and you just pop the CD in when you guys start the game, or
well, it sounds just like the board games that come with like a DVD that you watch. Like, didn't oh Clue, yeah, like come out with like an edition where you just watch like a video?
They really might have.
Yeah, I think so.
At that point, why wouldn't you just watch the movie and
that's
not even
right
bother
I
with
think
the game?
They're getting away from like now they're coming out with like a soundtrack because they were like, oh shit, we're just trying to get people to play this game, but they're continuously watching the movie we sent them.
Maybe it's like D&D where some people put up like music cues for different things in their game. Oh. So maybe it's like, oh, okay. Hit track 5 when this happens.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I like board games, so I was a little intrigued.
You're only allowed to play for the length of the album. Right. And then you're required to cease play. Yeah. If there's not a winner, too bad.
Oh. I think a lot of shit's going to go down with that then. You can't end in a tie. The King of the Jungle has won the bidding war. MGM has landed distribution rights to the sexier than thou Bradley Cooper's new supernatural thriller, Deeper. It's not a porno. Deeper is directed by Komal Mundruczko, or something like that, and is written by Max Landis. It involves a former astronaut hired to take a submersible to the lowest point in the ocean. As the sub gets closer to its destination, supernatural events transpire. Thoughts?
It's written by Max Landis.
Right.
I like the guy. I mean, I don't like the guy. I like his writing.
Yeah?
He's a massive tool, though.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah. Being Jonathan Landis'
son. It's his son? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so he thinks he's like hot shit.
Oh, yeah. He's like Bret Easton Ellis in that regard.
Bummer.
Who's good, but if you go to his Twitter and you're reading his tweets right. And stuff, he just insults any and everyone because he's the best.
Fun times.
Oh, yeah.
I hate those guys.
But Max Landis is a good writer. I'll still give him that.
Yeah. Do you guys like Bradley Cooper?
It depends on the setting.
You
I
mean
think.
Radley Cooper?
Excellent. That's his name for now on. My wife almost had sex with him on her honeymoon. Wow. Not honeymoon. Bachelorette party.
That's something for a husband to be proud of.
No, not almost had. No, they went to Vegas for a bachelorette party, and they went to a club one night, and they were there filming this movie, which ended up being The Hangover. And so it was him and Zach Galifianakis, like, just trying to be by themselves. And then, like, my wife and her friends found them, and they invited them into their, like, private booth to have a couple drinks and everything. And, I mean, I trust her when she says she didn't have sex with him. But, I mean, I can't blame her if she did.
You know, it might be a past moment. Like, you know what? For no sure. Matter what happened, we're okay.
Yeah, it's, right.
I understand.
Yeah. I understand that you had sex with Zach Galifianakis.
What does his beard taste like? She's back. Mila Jovovich will return to Raccoon City on January 27th, 2017 with Ali Larder and Sean Roberts, as well as new castmate Ruby Rose from Orange is the New Black and Cuban sex god William Levy in Resident Evil, the final chapter. Are you guys fans of the Resident Evil movies? Have you seen any of them?
I've seen the first two.
Right. Same.
And I don't remember them.
Same.
So I would not say I'm a fan.
Same.
I think I might have seen like 30 seconds on TV, but that 30 seconds was really good.
Yeah. I don't like the like futuristic zombies. I like horror and I like sci-fi, but normally I don't like it when they meet.
Never the twain shall meet.
Kevin, you like Resident Evil, right?
I don't know if I like them. I've seen them all.
All of, like, what, there's six of them, right?
Oh my God, I don't even know anymore.
I think this is the seventh one.
Is this the seventh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the fifth.
They're fun. They're like guilty pleasures. I mean, I was a big fan of the video game series. So
right.
That's
why.
I kind of like, I appreciate the characters that they put in them.
Yeah.
There's some movies you can just sit and watch. I've seen all the Saw movies, I think, except the last one.
Yeah.
And not that I particularly like them, but I guess I enjoy watching them.
Yeah.
I keep watching them.
You don't hate it.
Yeah, I'm not into the Resident Evils or the Underworlds or, you know.
Yeah, that was one of the news stories I had to cut out because they're coming out with another one with Kate Beckinsale. Yeah. And I was like, which one of these should I pick that I don't give a shit about? So which one would our listeners care most about? Abe Sapien is Nosferatu. Veteran scary man Doug Jones from Hellboy and Pan's Labyrinth will play the title character in David Lee Fisher's upcoming remake of Nosferatu. This remake will be similar to Fisher's remake of The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari in that he will use a mixture of live action combined with colorized digital backgrounds recreated from the original film. I never saw that, but
Nosferatu?
It sounds... No. I saw the original Nosferatu and the original Caligari, but I never saw the remake of Caligari, but it sounds interesting.
Interesting.
And I love Doug Jones, right? He's
the best.
He is the best. I'm into it. Kevin, thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Doug Jones is the best.
Just the way he moves.
We've got a unanimous vote here.
Kevin,
I can watch Doug Jones move all day.
Kevin, if you were married, would you give your wife a pass to have sex with Doug Jones?
Don't
answer that question. There's something in the mist. And it's coming to Spike TV in the form of 10 one-hour episodes based on Stephen King's novella, debuting in 2017. On our first show, we talked about how the network, formerly known as TNN, that's right, ordered a pilot of the series. Execs liked the pitch and script so much that they went straight to ordering up a mini-season. Did you guys see The Mist?
Absolutely.
And we liked it.
Oh, yes.
Right? Okay.
Especially the black and white version.
Mm-hmm. Right? You
the
like
only
that one
version
better?
To see. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Because that was the intent. It was intended to feel like those creature features from the 50s, 60s, whatever it was.
Oh, that. Yeah. Jeremy was talking about that on our first episode. Yeah. I want to see that. Is it like it's just they took the color out, right? Or did they like shoot scenes differently or reshoot the entire movie?
I can't remember. I know he wanted to shoot it in black and white. I don't know if he got his wish or if he was able to shoot it both ways or if
gotcha.
He took color. I don't remember.
Okay.
But you can watch them both on the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray version has both.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you guys think about this becoming a miniseries?
It's a good sign that they bought it right away, so they're probably going to do a really good job.
Yeah.
But also, the movie was so good that I'm like, well, but just watch the movie, because
right.
it's great.
Yeah. It's probably my favorite novella. Did you know if Frank Darabont wrote it? Like, because he wrote the movie.
Yeah,
I
don't think he's...
He wrote The Walking
no.
Dead.
No. Stephen King is acting as, you know, an executive producer, but I think he's the only name tied to it from the film.
Good old Stevie.
Mm-hmm. Stevie.
Remember? Well, I agree that the film was just awesome. And I hope that the miniseries doesn't take away from that. But there is something about the film, like, and it's that, forgive me about, like, forgetting characters' names, but the woman who, like, converted all those people, mm-hmm. I wanted to see more of that. And
oh,
so
that's
I'm
true.
Kind of hoping that,
oh.
like, that's kind of what
interesting
they're kind of going to lead with the series.
So it'll
because
be like
I did want to see more of that. I felt like I didn't see enough of that. I wanted to see her become just
yeah.
completely possessive.
Yeah,
so like Walking Dead where you get into the character.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, cuz a lot of times they cut away and then they came back and it's like holy shit, half the crowd is turned already. What the hell happened? Yeah, I wonder if it'll be kind of like a prequel.
That's what I was wondering because I don't think they can do the grocery store thing again. I think it needs to be focused on maybe the whole town. Definitely include Lady Carmody,
right.
which was her name.
Yeah. Okay.
or
Marcia Gay Harden, which I hate her anyways. So.
but something to that effect where it's you know, bigger and you're seeing different parts of the town. And that, I mean, I love the whole bottle thing, you know, keeping it all in one spot and right. finding out that the evil is on the inside, you know.
Yeah, so, right.
All that good stuff. So,
yeah, I wonder, I mean, they're gonna have to work their asses off to not like, I don't know, not there was any like, well, I guess the ending of the movie is a bit of a shocker. But I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm trying to say. Ignore me. Let's move on. Clown Will Devour Your Children and premiere on Stars. The Eli Roth produced creepy ass movie Clown. Have you guys seen the previews for this? The trailers?
I have.
Fucking A, right?
Yeah.
Will have a limited theatrical release, which we knew about, on June 17th. What's cool, though, is that it will also be on demand that same day through Stars Digital, which we don't have. So, like, I give a shit. But, you know, I'll get the Blu-ray, whatever. But I'm excited. I like how Eli Roth is making this a little more accessible. Because limited release, it's going to be L.A., New York, Chicago. You know, maybe Dallas or whatever. It's not coming to Omaha.
Now that we have an Alamo, though, maybe they can...
Oh, that's true. Hard to say with their Alamo Draft House, yeah.
Alamo's on point.
Really? I haven't been out
there. Free advertisement for Alamo.
Yeah, yeah.
They deserve it.
Yeah. We'll take some movie tickets to give away. No one from Alamo is listening to this. Come on.
I love clown movies.
Me too.
And I'm a big fan of Eli Roth too. I'll admit that.
Oh my God. Us too. Yeah. We're big fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie looks really fucking cool. I'm down. And finally, number 7 on the list, The Crypt Keeper will be gracing our living rooms once again. TNT and M. Night Shyamalan will be bringing us 10 episodes of an all-new Tales from the Crypt, hosted by a reinvented Crypt Keeper, which will be part of a first-ever horror block. Joining the Crypt Keeper in TNT's horror block will be a real-time anthology called Time of Death that will follow a psychopath who returns to his hometown during a county fair to exact revenge on a community he believes destroyed his life. And rounding out the evening will be Creatures. It seems like it's sort of a Slender Man type story where two young girls killed someone as a sacrifice when they were younger, and in the future they're released from a psychiatric institute but are still haunted by this figure. First of all, it kind of makes me want to get cable again. We don't have cable. You know, we just have the antenna, so we get five channels.
Neither do we. We're all streaming anymore.
I kind of want to see this. It sounds like a good night of TV.
Exactly. I'm just excited that horror's on television again.
Right.
And that it's because of the success, I think, of The Walking Dead and American Horror Story. Just
for sure.
Just all over the place we're getting horror stuff. And
yeah.
It's all in the works, at least. And, is you know, Tales from the Crypt, as long as Shyamalan's not writing it, I'm on board.
He's writing the pilot, and that's the only thing he's writing. And then he's producing. No, he is, and then he's producing the series. But
I could be on board with that.
Yeah.
And the Time of Death I read about today, I think that sounds amazing.
Doesn't it? I love it. I mean, honestly, like, talk about must-see TV. This is like my type of TV. The reason we got rid of cable was A, it was too fucking expensive. B, you know, you had 200 channels and you couldn't find anything good to watch. And now finally there's something good to watch.
We got rid of it because we had finally watched all the episodes of Teen Titans on Cartoon Network. And you're like, well, there's nothing else. So we gotta let it go.
We didn't finally finish watching all the episodes of Teen Titans. We watched all the episodes of Teen Titans about 18 times.
That's true.
Teen Titans Go, I should specify.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Our bad. Hey, guys, stay up to date on any breaking story by checking out our social media pages. We're on Twitter at Scary Shit Radio, Facebook at facebook.com/scaryasshit, and Tumblr at scaryasshit.tumblr.com. And as always, you can send in your comments and questions to scaryasshit666@gmail.com.
Wait a minute. I know who you are. Yeah, but I heard you were dead.
Yay, Rachel and Elliot Ross. Hello, how are you guys?
Oh, so good.
Very good, thank
you. Still good.
So good.
Do you need a refill on your wine?
Oh, no, I'm all right. I don't want to go too crazy on your podcast, so.
Yeah, this is an
our show. I encourage it. Elliot, are you good on your high life?
It's gone, but I'm fine.
Okay, we'll take a timeout after this and refill, because I may need a refill as well. So we just met, and I mean we talked about that earlier, but did you guys, like, when you were driving over here, we're like, oh God, what are we doing?
No, I wasn't. I mean, but I'm still a little loopy. I just got over pneumonia a couple days ago.
Thanks for coming over to my house.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure
he's on antibiotics. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's completely purged from my system at this point. But yeah, no. This is good. This is cool. I like this. It's not.
It's for the love of podcasting that we'll go to strangers' houses.
All right. Good. Well, so I know of you guys through Jeremy Johnson, who has been a regular on our show, as he is on your show.
That's true.
Let's talk about your show.
Okay.
What is it?
Our show is called Real Rats. The whole thinking behind that is that it's another movie podcast. And the idea is that we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. We're like rats foraging around in a pile of reels, as it were. Plus, it's got a ring to it.
Yeah.
And this podcast is just, it's for funsies.
Yeah.
It's a hobby.
Yeah.
And we get to watch obscure things. And then, so we decided to, it's kind of boring to just go through and talk about a plot of a movie for an entire podcast.
Right.
Although we have done that, admittedly, before. And there's too much wine.
Yes. And there are other people who do it better than we do. So we just kind of talk about our personal lives too, and just whatever makes us laugh. And we're usually completely wasted.
Yeah, our cats get in on it sometimes. You can hear some meows. So,
our daughter's
asleep.
We've had Jeremy on. We go way back with him. We're better guests than he is.
True,
don't
so far.
Jeremy, we love you.
No, we love him.
The one movie that you guys watched that really stood out to me was that one with Mark Hamill.
Oh my God.
The Guyver.
The Guyver. What the? Okay. So here's my question. Where do you find, like, these movies to be able to watch them?
We find them on our shelf at home.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
I have a pretty large movie collection, over 1,100.
VHS.
Yeah. Some we, VHS. We, a good yeah. chunk of, a nice chunk of VHS.
Nice.
We don't do heroin. We buy movies.
Which is worse, you
That's
know?
That's where the money goes. Was, well, yeah. Heroin might be cheaper. I don't know.
What really got you into movies? Like, when you were younger, do you remember a movie you watched and you were just like, maybe it was just a horrible movie, but you're like, oh God, I love this shit so much. Either one of you.
I'll go first. My first movie love was Princess Bride.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, nice. That was so good. I watched it from such a young age, and I watched it just over and over and over again. But I grew up in a very conservative home, so that was like that and Disney movies were the only things that I had. So then I get out of the house, I meet Elliot, and he's like, here are all of these movies that you've never seen before. Yeah. So I have a lot of catching up to do, lots of classics that I haven't watched.
Right.
my stripper mom and rock star dad.
True story.
What? Time out.
Huh?
You for real?
Yeah.
Well, good for her. I mean, that's fine. Lots. Okay, time back in.
Okay. The TV was just always on to weird and random things. And I'd watched Labyrinth and Puppet Master and Hellraiser and stuff like that with my mom all the time. And, you know, my dad would have The Wall on or... you know, by Pink Floyd or just some Fantastic Planet, just really trippy stuff. And
excellent.
Growing up, it was Alice in Wonderland, Dumbo. I mean, it's very bright colors, you know, very vivid dreams.
And yeah.
So I don't know. I guess it's just ingrained in me that way.
That's cool, man. So what's the last movie you guys watched for your show?
For our show, it was with Jeremy Arena.
That's right.
It was...
What a disaster.
Awful.
Was it really? I mean, like, are most of these movies bad, would you say?
The goal isn't that they're necessarily bad, but we really enjoy bad movies.
Right.
So we get... We like what we like. I don't believe in guilty pleasures.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. If I enjoyed it, there must be something to it. That's
That's a good point.
That's kind of how I look at it. And go ahead.
Oh, and we watch most of our movies blind, so we're not going to know if we like it beforehand, except for Ninja 3, The Domination.
Oh, my God.
Everyone in the world should watch that
movie. You seen that?
No, but I listened to that. You guys did a show about it, right?
Yeah. No, we will, like... We should have let you borrow it because you need to see it.
Yeah, I need to come over sometime and like just have a movie night because I want to watch some of this shit, man.
Please do. You can guest on our podcast. We'll watch Ninja 3 and then something else. It'll be great.
Okay, so let's talk about, we can find you on the interwebs, the social medias, the Twitters and Facebooks and Instagrams at what?
Take it away.
This is me. It's at Real Rats, RealRats on Instagram, Twitter. We have a Facebook page that hasn't really gotten a lot of activity, but it exists. And we also have an email, realratspodcast@gmail.com.
Never show the full hand. We are the most successful podcast this side of the Mississippi.
Yeah, that's like
we have at least... 3 listeners.
Thousands. Give us a little credit.
Yeah, like I'm sure it's the same with you. Like we're bigger and we're not huge on Twitter, but like we're bigger on Twitter than on Facebook. But
it just seems to be how people connect these days.
Yeah.
I don't really understand Twitter, but that's definitely what we use. We're trying.
Yeah. Well, and like most of our I think all of our Facebook friends or likes or whatever are just like my friends. Like local community people who will eventually be on the show. Whereas like Twitter, there might be 3 people from Omaha that follow us. The rest of them are from around the country and the world, you know? So, which is really cool because
it's very
cool. So like, you know, when we look at our stats, like we'll get like, we're big in, not big, but you know, we have a lot of listens in Ireland and it's cause you know, we've played a bunch of Irish bands and we're going to be playing a bunch more and
sweet.
I don't know. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to see it like that.
I'm not going to interrupt you or anything, but we got you a gift there. if you wanted to give that an open at any point.
Now, can we call this, so it's my birthday week.
Yeah.
Can we call this my birthday present?
No, this is a gift because we're good guests.
Oh my. Okay. Let's step it up here. People keep in mind that you are now, required to bring me a gift. Now the box is a horror classics. Oh, it's dark. The vinyl figure. Mystery Minis Series 2. I'm excited.
Got you a little desk buddy.
I'm just like adding to the desk. I love it.
I don't see a proper mug over there though. You need a mug.
I know.
We've got to hook him up with a mug. We know all the mug connections.
That's sweet. Wow. I have the heroin connections. So I'll get you guys the heroin. You get me the mug.
Yeah, Rachel's an avid mug collector. That's not even
a
joke.
My prize one is a 3-dimensional unicorn mug that is farting a rainbow.
What?
So everything else is second best, but I do have several.
Wait a minute. I got you a personalized mug for a birthday or something, right? That said... What's it say?
It says rad since 1987, and it's got like tattoo, like Sailor Jerry style birds on it.
Yeah.
Okay,
I like
that
it.
One is the most meaningful.
There you go.
Mug.
All right.
Love
so
it.
In my hand, now let me just say this. I have a guest. We have a guest coming up in a few weeks, David Backus, who is not a horror guy, but he's an 80s guy. And he was like, we have to watch The Lost Boys.
Oh, you got the... Oh.
So, who's jealous now? So, I have Kiefer Sutherland from The Lost Boys in my hand eating a box of Chinese food.
That's
very
beautiful.
Cool.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen his new country song?
What?
Kiefer Sutherland has a new country song.
Did he have a video? An older country song?
I hope
well,
not.
Well, I think this is his first.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Not Enough Whiskey.
What?
Typical country song. Not very good. I mean, I don't know country, so I don't know if it's good or not, but I didn't like it. So now I'm calling him Kiefer Sutherland because he disappointed me so bad.
He's such a queef.
We were watching this video because we're like, what is this? On YouTube, and I just kept going, but what about Lost Boys? What about Lost Boys? And everyone's yelling at me, there is no more Lost Boys.
Oh, man. Yeah, he turned a corner. Wow, you guys, this is amazing. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a timeout for drinks and
potties
and Kiefer Sutherland country music. And then we'll be back to play our favorite game.
The Seven Deadly Questions.
All right, the Seven Deadly Questions. Oh, each week, our special guest hosts. It's usually just one person. We have two tonight. So special.
Is this a first?
A first. Yeah. You're popping our cherry.
Woohoo.
I love cherries.
That's what Rachel does best.
Well, I hope my wife doesn't listen to this. Don't worry, she won't. She hasn't listened to an episode yet.
Oh.
So each week, we ask the same seven questions to our guests, and we're going to get right to that right now. Question number one for both of you. I'm going to have two answers tonight. I also take notes, by the way, because I like to compare the answers. Mm-hmm. Number one, what's your favorite horror movie? We'll start with Elliot.
Okay. Ladies first, I guess. My favorite horror movie. That's a big question. I really like some subgenres here. I would say probably Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Ah!
Wow.
Because I've seen it at least 100 times. I've been watching it since I was a child. And
it still holds up for you?
It absolutely does. And I can just keep watching it, and I get the same amount of enjoyment out of it every time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin watched it when he was a kid.
I watched that movie so much when I was a kid.
And then when we were in high school, we watched it one night at his place, and we're like, what the fuck is this?
But I still own it. Like I have seen it since then. I've watched it maybe a handful of times.
And does it hold up, Kevin?
As I have. It's still like, it tickles me.
Right, it does the trick. I don't know. It just doesn't get old for me. I could probably put that in any day and go. So I'm going to go with Killer Clowns.
Okay, Rachel?
Mine is The Phantom of the Paradise. It is a horror rock opera.
Excellent.
Where the guy who wrote all the songs is from Bennington, Nebraska, our neighbor.
Wow.
And he also was like the bad guy in it too. So it's delightful. Paradise.
When did that come out? Do you know?
What was it? 70s?
Oh, a long time ago. Cool.
Yeah. I think. Scream Factory recently released it.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Well, I say recently. It was probably last year sometime.
Yeah, still.
Gorgeous edition of it.
The cover looked so good that we blind bought it. Like, we pre-ordered it. So we got the poster, and we had never even seen it. But
well,
they sucker me in.
This is right. This is another reason for me to come over.
Yeah, exactly.
To watch. Seriously, I might just spend the night, like maybe four nights in a row, and just watch movies constantly.
We don't mind.
All right. Come on over.
Question number two. How would you want to die in a horror movie, Elliot?
Okay. Trauma style. No, wait. Natural causes. No, wait. Trauma style. I would say getting impaled, like falling onto something, getting impaled.
Yes.
Having my limbs then ripped off and then exploding.
Excellent.
It needs to be just so over the top and
silly.
Oh,
for sure. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because I want it to be memorable, and that's kind of how I envision it being memorable.
I love it. Rachel?
I want to be the first to die because I hate suspense.
And how, like, you just want to, like, whatever?
Yeah, I want it to be a surprise. So I'm just going along, like in a slasher movie, I'm just going along, like, me and Elliot, we're about to, like, do something stupid in a garage when we're at a slumber party, and then, bam, chainsaw to the face.
Chainsaw to the face.
And it's over quickly, and I'm none the wiser.
Boy.
Since you're first, you didn't realize there was any trouble to begin with.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were like, say, second or any of the other ones, it's like, oh, you know that something bad is happening and it could happen to you.
Right.
I'm just saying, chainsaw to the face. Like, it has to be a pretty precise cut to the face to make it a fatal blow. You know, we had our school photographer growing up years and years ago tried to kill himself by shooting himself in the head, and it didn't take.
That's an awful story.
And like it, you know, he had to have reconstructive surgery and all that stuff. So I'm just saying, like, this killer, this chainsaw killer, better be good with this chainsaw.
Oh, man. Yeah, because I'd want it to be quick. So maybe just like chainsaw me in half.
There we go.
That would be that okay. Would,
that's the same movie Elliot's dying in.
It's just like, hey, I'm just the first one.
Like,
and
then the chainsaw goes through you, and you wait a minute before your top half just topples over.
Yeah.
And then blood spurts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That'd be
all
right.
I'd see that movie.
All right, question number three. What is your favorite scary book, Elliot?
Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury.
Didn't, was that last week's too?
Was it?
Kevin, do you remember? It was a Ray Bradbury book.
Yeah. I don't think it was the same one though.
Okay. No. Something Wicked Comes This Way?
Something Wicked This Way Comes. it's amazing. I don't know what else to say about it. It's my favorite book. I think it was my dad's favorite book. Every line, I mean, it is just pure prose the whole way through. It's a lot of people find it difficult to read because it doesn't really read like poetry, but it kind of does. It's
Isn't
uber
it
descriptive and
children?
Metaphorical, and it's not geared towards children.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of The Halloween Tree.
That's it.
I'm gonna have to step up my Bradbury game here. 2 weeks in a row.
I don't think you can go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I read Fahrenheit back in high school or middle school or something.
Well, and at that point, it's an assignment. You don't want to do it.
True, but I did enjoy it. Rachel, favorite scary book?
Well, I don't read, so that's going to be... But I remember when I was in junior high, this was also a school assigned book. They had us read the first book of this trilogy about tripod robots that had taken over the world, and they made implants on people. And there was like this really descriptive chapter about removing the implant when it was in your arm, like just slicing
it out. You had to read that in
out.
School?
It was in junior high.
That's
I went
amazing.
To Cross Lutheran and it's closed now because they had also made us read the unedited version of Anne Frank.
The unabridged.
That sounds like an amazing
school
to me. It needs
to be edited.
Wow.
So that just always stuck out to me as just being really scary imagery. And I was scared of everything as a kid anyway.
War of the Worlds knockoff.
Yeah. Now I just don't read and I don't get scared.
Actually, yeah, there you go. Question number four. What has been your favorite Halloween costume you've ever worn?
Mine's kind of a two-parter, if that's okay. One year we were hosting a impromptu little Halloween party because for whatever reason, our friends never do anything for Halloween and...
Shame on them.
Then it falls on us and we didn't plan a big thing. And I last minute ran out and bought a new pair of pajamas, top, bottom, a new robe and some slippers. A new robe. My first robe. and some house slippers. And I went as Sleepy Time Elliot, and I got myself some new pajamas out of it. So it was like a win-win. Several years later, I was needing some new pajamas. So I
because those same had worn out?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd been using them. so I threw a bunch of fake blood. I bought a thing of fake blood for like $5. I dumped it all over myself, and I went as a sleepwalker.
Excellent.
Right?
Nice.
I came up with that myself.
That's clever.
Messed up the hair a little more, looked a little ragged. And,
yeah.
And then I had an excuse to go buy new pajamas. Oh, wow. So my costumes are all pajama based.
rabbit hole real quick. How many pairs of pajamas do you own?
full outfits? Just one, I think.
Okay. Will it be part of your Halloween costume this year?
I haven't given my Halloween costume this year any thought yet. Rachel's been dying for us to do a couple's costume since we got married, and I've never given into that.
You stay strong.
Actually,
stay strong, brother.
That's incorrect.
What?
Because my favorite Halloween costume was when we both went steampunk.
I forgot about that.
We ordered special goggles from the Ukraine from an Etsy site, so they were custom painted. Amazing goggles. I made you a vest and it almost killed me. The vest.
The vest almost killed you?
Almost killed me because I was so enraged.
I'd see that horror film.
Yeah. Did it chainsaw you in half?
It practically did. It wouldn't reverse, like, because you have to sew it reverse, and I couldn't like turn it the right way out.
Okay.
And I about threw everything we own out the window.
We won a costume contest like that. I completely...
We did.
I don't know how I spaced.
We did. That's and cool. I love it was steampunk amazing. Stuff. Yeah, I made myself so cool. a fun dress, and I had like a leather coat and these gloves, and you had your vest. And nice. It was great. So
pictures of these costumes on the internet.
Yeah, there are.
They are. We can send you some. Both of them. I don't know about your Death Walker.
Oh yeah, I don't know if those exist anywhere.
We'll have to look around.
We'll take a look.
I dig. Those are good. Okay, question number 5. What has been your most terrifying nightmare?
The first one I think of, I was a child, and I was at one of my dad's gigs. He was performing. For whatever reason, there was a concert venue in the back of a bakery in my dream. And I wasn't allowed to go see the show. I had to stay in the abandoned, it was closed.
Closed, right, okay.
Bakery. I was kind of playing a pinball machine, and it was really creepy. And the baker chased me out with a giant breadstick he wanted to bludgeon me with, like a giant baguette, out into the night streets. And it was the most horrifying thing. Like, if I can't even trust a baker, who can I trust? So, I'm trying to think of the last time I had a nightmare. I have these dreams frequently where I am screaming at someone, usually Rachel. I'm just screaming at someone as loud as I can, and it's like they're not hearing me.
That's horrible.
And that recently has been kind of my nightmare.
Recurring, yeah.
Am I just on my phone playing Neko Itsume and you're yelling at me, leave your cats alone and make me dinner?
Yeah, the nightmare is that Tubbs is eating all my Ritzy Bits. And,
yeah. Rachel, most terrifying nightmare?
The one that like really startled me the most was there was a dream where this like unidentified government agency was trying to like arrest me or kill me or something. So I had to go, and for some reason Elliot was at my mom's house, and so I had to go there, tell him that I had to leave him and my daughter, and I just had to run. And I remember that part of the dream was I had to actually run across I-80, which is an interstate in Omaha for all of you not local listeners. And it was just this really terrifying, like, I have to leave everything behind and just go to save everyone I love.
Oh, my God.
It was so scary. I've also had a really great zombie apocalypse dream, but that just basically explains itself.
Right. Nice. You know, I haven't had a nightmare in a very long time until last week. I had a nightmare that I somehow killed one of these kids that was in my after school program that I used to work at. And then,
oh, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Big dream.
And then like, you know, I hit her body and everything. And like, I was trying to figure out like lies and everything. I think the nightmare part was the stress of coming out with a solid lie to cover my ass.
Right, like how do I get away with it? Was it an accident that you killed the person?
I think so.
Or that wasn't clear?
No, I think so. I shot her.
By accident.
I accidentally shot her with my gun.
Yeah, but and you know, she died. And the funny thing, like, it wasn't a kid that I, like, I loved this girl. Like, she's one of my favorites. And, well, she's dead in my dreams now. Anyways, that's moving awful. On.
I hope I hope there's not continuity in your dreams.
R.I.P.
Me too. Yeah. Okay, going back to Rachel and the zombie apocalypse. You're in a zombie apocalypse. You have one weapon, and it's not a gun. What is it, Elliot?
My gut reaction is to say something blunt, something where I could feel the impact. that way I know with my hands that they're dead, but that really puts me at risk. Now, when you say gun, are you talking about if I were to say a gun that shoots knives or a gun that shoots bricks, is that off limits?
You could throw knives.
Shooting blunt objects at them?
Well, I mean, we allowed flamethrower one time. Is that a type of gun?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, so a gun that shoots...
How,
It's not a gun. We can't call it a gun.
All right. How about a slingshot?
Yeah.
Like a ground mounted slingshot that shoots bricks.
Or what about like a crossbow that?
Okay, because that's a bow really and not a gun. Like a
no,
gun.
But I dig the sling. We're going with slingshot. All right,
just
that
a really
cool
big,
shit.
Powerful slingshot.
It's like a, it's like a killer water balloon launcher.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
Because
oh,
then I still get range.
Love it. Okay. Oh,
and
that's cool.
Does it only shoot bricks?
Just blunt objects, whatever.
Yeah, blunt objects. You know, this is the zombie apocalypse, so just whatever's lying around. Car parts.
You have to be resourceful.
Other zombies.
Other zombies' heads.
Uh-huh, yeah. Exactly. Just
dead babies.
Shoot
anywhere.
Whatever you
yeah.
grab.
Yeah. Occasional baby.
Or a live baby, whatever.
You know, it's a zombie apocalypse. I think anything goes.
Anything goes.
Yes, sure.
Well, it was a zombie baby, to be fair.
There you
okay.
go.
All right, there you go. Rachel? Mm-hmm.
Well, the best answer was already taken. I don't remember who took it, but the absolute best answer is a bat, because you don't need any ammo. You just need to be able to swing a bat.
Can you swing a bat?
Well, I played...
Elliot, I think, disagrees.
I played recreational softball, which
yeah,
is non-competitive softball. So it's like you struck out... great job, maybe next time kind of thing. There's no like running, there's just let's learn how to maybe do this sometime.
What was the name of your softball team?
My well, the first year in third grade we were Purple Crush, and then
like
the every
soda.
She
yeah.
still has her softball t-shirt from when she was in Purple Crush and she still wears it.
That's right. Although I don't think it fits anymore. Thanks, metabolism. But and then every year after that we were the Tigers. And orange is a very unflattering color on me.
No. It matches. It'd go well with your hair.
Yeah, right now. It would be okay. But
you can go with bat. I love that answer.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it's the best.
Like
so.
Your bat, like the end of your bat wrapped in like barbed wire, or is just a regular bat?
Well, ideally it would be. It would be wrapped in barbed wire because that would just do more damage. But
it
wouldn't
it would
really
stick?
Need to be.
Yeah, see, that's what I would worry about.
You might need to do a couple trial runs.
That's why I worry about bladed weapons. Although I loved the answer of like a scythe, like a
mm-hmm. oh yeah yeah
to
right.
be just the reaper of death, like just yeah. slicing things in half. I mean that sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah. What happens if you like take your scythe and then you cut off the zombie's head, but you don't destroy the brain? Like, does the body still move? How does
I
that
thought,
work?
I thought as long as you remove the head or destroy the brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, but with that, though, the head would just go on living, but it couldn't really do any damage because
no.
it's just there.
No.
Saying, 'tis but a flesh wound.
Nah, I'd be dead.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, and finally, we are keeping score, and I'm winning. I just want to let you guys know, okay? I'm not going to tell you whose team I am on, but I'm winning. Who would win, Michael Myers, Freddy, Leatherface, or Jason?
Leatherface.
Really?
Yeah, you know.
That's fine.
You know, in these series, all the other guys are always getting killed by teenagers. They're always getting chased and killed by teenagers over and over and over and over. I don't recall that happening to Leatherface. Granted, I haven't seen all of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. Yes, he's a simple man, Bubba, but he'll do whatever. See, along with Leatherface,
trying
comes,
to be PC as possible.
Along with Leatherface comes his entire family, and he does
right,
whatever his family says to do.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna put Freddy in the mortal world. It's Freddy versus Jason type scenario where they bring him into the living world, because
right.
that's the only way it's a fair four-way fight.
Okay, that's fine.
So that's how I'm rating this. Yeah, Leatherface.
Okay, believe it or not. Okay, hold on. Okay, Rachel. Sorry,
he's too excited.
I really am.
Okay, I am basing my vote on a compilation video that I watched.
Okay,
where Jason breaks through walls. Saying, oh yeah, like the Kool-Aid man, over and over and over.
Yeah.
And nobody breaks through walls like that guy. And Jason is my winner.
Okay, so, Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? Okay, so here's the deal. I am Team Freddy, Freddie has 4 votes. Jason now has 4 votes. Kevin is team Jason.
You're welcome.
For have fuck's
seen,
sake.
So, like, have you, are these movies that you are amongst those movies that you haven't seen yet?
I have seen Halloween 3.
What?
The which one? The one that has nothing to do with Michael Myers?
That is the Halloween film that she has
that
seen.
That is the exact one that I've seen.
That's the best one, though, I think.
And I have also seen the, was it the first Friday the 13th?
I don't know.
Was it, you saw it with me.
Was Johnny Depp in it?
No, he was not.
Then it wasn't the
you
first.
You haven't seen, you have, that's A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, duh. Oh, God, shame on Anthony. I've had too
Bacon
much beer.
That was in
Kevin Bacon first, was in the first Friday the 13th.
Right.
Did you see that one?
I did. I did. And
so the one without Jason.
The one without Jason. But
as the bad guy.
Make it clear that my vote was based on the compilation that I did.
I already
see.
Circled in pen. I can't erase it.
In my vote, Jason is drowning child Jason. He's the drowning boy.
Well,
Freddy is in the mortal world. Michael Myers, I guess he just gets sawed in half by Leatherface, who's being commanded to get sawed in half by his father.
So here's the deal. So Freddy 4, Jason 4. Leatherface has 2. The simple man from Texas has 2. And the man who will not die has 0.
I mean,
what in the fuck is happening?
I out of all of those, Halloween might be my favorite movie, but
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Michael Myers.
All right.
Halloween 3 was very good, so
I love Season of honestly, Season of the Witch is my favorite Halloween movie.
Oh, I love that movie, but man, does it drag at the end.
Yeah.
He pulls me into this dark office alone. He lays me down, and he's like, take off your shirt. He was good. He was a professional. Jason's warm. He loops me all up, gets it done. And he's rubbing this thing all over. He's very gentle with me. I'm about to pass out. Dude, it's taking forever. And now I'm slightly out of breath. He squirts me down all over my belly. But he did say that I didn't have to put my shirt back on, which was weird.
Oh, yeah. They also talk about comics. Long Box Small Talk. Weekly. On bmoviesandebooks.com.
Movie review. He Never Died, rated R at 1 hour and 39 minutes from 108 Media and Alternate Ending Studios. Written and directed by Jason Krawczyk, I think. Starring Henry Rollins, Boo Boo Stewart, although he's only like in it for a little bit. Kate Greenhouse and Jordan Todosi.
This could be bad.
Doing. Have you seen a young lady with a lip ring in here today?
What's she look like?
A young lady with a lip ring.
Hey!
Are you Derek?
Yeah, motherfucker.
How old are you?
I have no idea, but I'm in the Bible if that means anything. I'm known as Cain.
Probably just gonna go kill another room full of people. You are?
Probably.
Come on!
Jack, a social outcast, is thrust out of his comfort zone when the outside world bangs on his door and he can't contain his violent past. First off, the music is kick ass, man.
Absolutely.
Great soundtrack. I loved it. And second of all, I think Elliot and I were the only ones laughing in that cut from the trailer.
I was also, but
oh good.
Not
loudly though.
No, not loudly.
I think that kind of gives away what's going to transpire here. So last week we hated on this movie, and what I try not to do is movies that we pick to review, I try to go in like you guys, completely blind, no trailer, no nothing. No synopsis, whatever.
Sure.
And so I just saw starring Henry Rollins and a guy named Boo Boo. And I was like, oh, fuck me. It was still on my queue. I was still planning on watching it. So when you guys suggested it, I was like, that's cool. That's fine.
Oh, throw us under the bus. I thought it was a horror movie.
Yeah, right.
Turns out not really.
Yeah. So we hated on it last week. But I do want to admit, I love Henry Rollins. I love the Henry Rollins Band. I love Black Flag. I like his speaking. I think he's a total badass in real life.
Absolutely.
Super cool. And I imagine Jack, the character that he plays, is actually just Henry Rollins being Henry Rollins, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He just seems like Henry Rollins is it's hard to think of someone I would be more intimidated to meet.
Oh, so much. Oh my gosh, I would be so nervous going. I probably wouldn't even approach him. I'd be so scared.
I don't think I would either.
I would just ask him what he's really saying the whole time. Like, will you stop being so vague? Will you just talk to me?
Show a little emotion. Just a little bit.
See that? Well, okay. So this movie, I'm taking notes. And all my notes on my paper in front of me are chronological. And so, like, I think probably 20 minutes in, I wrote a note. This movie needs to decide what it is. Okay.
I wrote that note at the end credits.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Come on.
Well,
it's like,
but, like, I'm watching it with Bobby, my wife, last night, and I pause it for, you know, to get up a drink or get a drink or whatever. And she goes, this is like very Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, right? In that it kind of, it's that same type of quirkiness. Have you guys ever seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
I have, yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
It is, however, her like favorite movie title, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I think it's that kind of quirkiness. And the other thing is, like, on Netflix, it's in the horror.
Yeah.
But like on IMDb, it's like drama, thriller,
comedy. Drama, thriller. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck? So going in blind, I was a little confused.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize I was getting into a thriller, but how, what do we do about spoilers here?
Tread lightly. I mean, you know,
it's tricky because there is a way that it still kind of falls into the horror category.
Yeah. Well, see, I think spoilers are fine. Like, I know what you're talking about because it's in the trailer. I watched the trailer today to get this cut, and it's in the trailer. Like, it's him drinking blood in the trailer.
All right, so that he's a vampire.
Oh. Yeah.
So it still is. It then becomes a vampire film, which still kind of falls into one of those little subcategories. So
right.
we can fairly say that we weren't completely wrong in choosing to watch it.
No. I would consider this a subgenre of horror. You know, it's. I thought it was really fucking funny.
I did too. I mean, I was never, granted, I don't get scared, but I was never scared.
No, it wasn't
uneasy.
Right. There's that first kill, which doesn't happen like till a while into the film, but he goes up to the guy, rips the throat out, and then eats it. That was fucking cool, man.
That was a fun scene.
Yeah, Kevin, come on. You got to appreciate that, right?
I there were parts of it that I appreciated. There were a few of the jokes that I laughed at. I felt like the jokes were like dick and fart jokes, but without the dicks and the farts. Like, that's what they were. You know? And so a couple of them got me. Oh my God. I'm sorry. The movie was a piece of shit. That's all I can say. Oh, there was so much wrong with it. It was the acting, and I'm sitting here and you're saying that Henry Rollins, like, that was him playing Henry Rollins, and I'm like, so that's what he's like? It's I couldn't be around a guy like that. It would bug me.
So you didn't like the characters?
I didn't like the characters. I had a huge problem with the way the characters even found relationships with each other, because halfway through the film, he was just like, I don't give a shit about anything. I don't give a shit about anyone. And they showed that so powerfully. And then all of a sudden, oh, I care about this person. I'm going to save him. And then the woman at the restaurant, forgive me, I don't know her name.
Kara.
Yeah, Kara.
Why is she so interested in him? Just because he's a guy that has come into her diner
that is
so
weird.
Often? Like, why is she attracted to this person? Why does she want to kiss him so badly, but she doesn't? Oh.
See, I think,
so much.
I think Henry Rollins' character, I don't think that the writing is bad. I love the writing. I think Henry Rollins' character is actually quite real, because I feel like that a lot of times. Like, I don't want to fucking talk to anybody. I just want to do my business and, like, get along, like, get through life.
Just taken to an extreme.
Right. And, like, I did, I related to Jack, and, because deep down, like, he was a very caring person, because he did, you know, save, the kid, the Boo Boo, you know, whatever his character name was. and, you know.
But he did that because of what he was doing for him. Like, he did that because he needed his service.
Oh, no, because, well, no, at the beginning, he said that he was going to...
He could pay anyone.
Yeah, he could pay anyone. And that, yeah, because he was... Boo Boo Stewart said, you know, my internship is up next week or whenever. And then Henry Rollins said, okay, well, I'll find someone else. Rachel, your thoughts, please. You didn't like the movie. You did not like the movie. Okay.
But I have so many thoughts.
Tell me.
Okay, well, I feel like they just left a lot kind of unanswered. They hinted at a transformation several times. In fact, in the picture on Netflix, they even show the scars from the wings.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I was a little confused about, like, but if you do, like, some biblical research, like, you know, there are some Cain or some... legends or whatever, that Cain was a fallen angel and he was cursed to walk the earth forever.
So if you're going with that, then it's like his wings have been just removed. So he's not turning into anything. It's been taken away. Well, okay, I'll take that. However, if he is from the Bible, that would make him Middle Eastern descent and not a white guy.
Technicality.
I mean, artistic liberties.
Americans like to forget that.
That's true, but guilty. I do like to forget that.
Right.
Jesus is white as white can be.
Oh yes.
Well, okay. Let me throw in some. So we're split here. It's two like it, two don't. Let me throw in some more good stuff. Well, I guess not good stuff. My next note. Did you notice, so when he was frustrated or whatever, when Andrea was sleeping on the chair and he crashes on the bed and, like, he looks at the alarm clock and he gets pissed all of a sudden and he throws the alarm clock and it's like the weakest ass throw you've ever seen in your life. And then when...
He throws the cup?
Yeah, was it the cup or a beer bottle? Like, he just... Yeah. Oh my God. It was like the weakest throw. And I was like, oh my.
He didn't even break the glass.
Yeah. Oh, Henry Rollins, you're not a sportsing type, are you?
They do sell glasses that don't break. So it might have been one of those.
I mean, the way that made a sound, it reminded me of when I was going to Pizza Hut when I was a kid and I'd drop one of those cups.
Yeah. One of the plastic cups.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like one of those cups would just jiggle around like that and make that sound.
We always said in the restaurants that the most depressing sound is like you're in the middle of a rush in the kitchen, like pans are sizzling and everything, and you get a call for something. You put a cold pan on the hot stove, and then you grab like frozen peas or something, and you put them into the pan, and they just like tinkle around the pan without a sizzle. That was the same. I was like, oh God, this is so embarrassing. Like, where's the crash or whatever?
Do we know why he was always asking for the time? I mean, I know he was on why didn't he carry a watch?
Interesting.
If he always needed to know the time and he never kept the time on him, he was always asking other people what the time was.
That might be another, there were a lot of unanswered questions, mm-hmm. Which I do like, but like asking for the time or like for me, the voices in his head, is that just like his past haunting him? Is that supposed to be assumed? That's what that is.
I think that's supposed to be assumed that it's like the hunger taking, or
yeah,
or perhaps
whatever. Like,
But what are the voices?
He seemed so careless and like he wanted to die, so why did he keep drinking blood? I mean, I do have questions, but I liked the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, and also, if he was ever sleeping during the day, he didn't have the voices when he was sleeping. But if he was sleeping at night, he did have the voices. So maybe he was trying to time it so he would stay up all night and only sleep during the day.
Interesting. So does anyone else feel like this would make a killer graphic novel?
Mm. Like 30 Days of Night style?
Yeah.
They would have more time to answer questions.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's just a one-off, like a 100-page one-off or whatever, I see this as an epic graphic novel. I would buy that shit up so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and yeah, maybe they could answer some more questions. Kevin, silent.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, like a graphic novel, I could probably read that. I don't think I had any big problems with the story. I just had huge problems with the way the film was made.
It was probably low budget, right? I mean, it seemed like it was kind
of course. But it's total indie.
Low budget movies, and Henry Rollins can't act.
No, okay, so yeah, that's my next note. He's just not a good actor. But I did feel like he was perfect for this role. Like, I think he played it perfectly.
I'm in agreement.
You know, and that's probably true. I think it's just the writing that I have the problem
really?
With in his. Yeah, just because he was so vague all the time. And why did he like bingo so much?
There's another one, yeah.
Also, shout out to Boo Boo Stewart, who is one of the werewolves in Twilight.
Boo.
You didn't have to bring that up.
Yes, I did.
Boo. I will say, we saw whatever one he's in, Eclipse, I think, or something, in the theater. Not because we like Twilight, because we don't. Because for laughs, like we honestly went because we wanted something to do, and like, hey, this could be funny.
It's a great comedy.
We really pissed off some kids behind us who were into it because we're just laughing and laughing. And then when the credits rolled and we saw the name Boo Boo Stewart, oh, we died.
We had gone pretty early, so the theater was full. So we had to sit in the front row of the theater because there was
Excellent.
Nowhere else. There was just teeny boppers and their moms everywhere.
Front row at Twilight.
And we're here, and they're doing werewolf telepathy, and we're dying. And I don't think we've ever been wanted to be murdered so badly.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
Okay, there is a moment in this movie where they're all transformed into wolves, and... just you're hearing English back and forth as they're talking to each other. They're not moving their mouths.
But
not,
like talking dogs. But
you're supposed to assume
telepathically.
That they're telepathically communicating. And it
oh
is
boy.
They try to make it look dramatic, and it's just the funniest scene.
Oh, Lord.
That feeds my just path of never seeing anything past halfway through the first. Because that's when I stopped watching. Halfway through the first one, I shut that shit off, and I haven't seen it.
I mean, if you like laughs, I would recommend watching the whole series. I really would.
If you look at it as a comedy, like I watched There Will Be Blood, and it's my favorite comedy of 2011.
What?
Yeah. No, it's hilarious. No, it's a wonderful, beautiful movie. It deserved every award that it got. I watch it as a comedy, and I have a ripe
She thinks
ripe
Daniel Plainview is the funniest character ever put to cinema.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, okay. I can see that. So before we grade it, the ending, it just like ended, right?
Yep.
I like movies like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Elliot, did you dig it?
It depends. The ending, I was fine with it. I was kind of hoping for just like a little more carnage at the end, but.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, yeah. But
that's my own personal bloodlust.
I pray to God there is not a sequel because that will be a piece of shit.
Oh, I highly doubt there would be. It would be a direct-to-DVD sort of deal if they decided to.
Oh, God, please.
I don't think this was successful by any means. Like, I don't know if it made any money or.
No.
I really don't know when it comes to independent cinema how that stuff works.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Anyways, all right, well, let's grade it. So, on Scary As Shit, we have a 1 to 10 grading scale.
That is the way to do it.
I give He Never Died an 8. Elliot will go to the high grade for you or another like it, which you're giving it a...
A7.
Okay. I was going back and forth between 7 and 8. Okay.
7 is my most, is probably my most common rating among movies that I enjoy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just kind of always ends up that way.
Oh, cool. Well, that's
probably
fine.
More sevens. I've probably seen more sevens than anything else in my life.
It's like circling or filling in C on a bubble test.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. For me, a 5 is, that was good. That was, if it was on TV, if it came on and someone insisted upon watching it, I wouldn't fight them. A 6 is like, yeah, there was a little bit of good about that. And I might pop it in if I'm sick or bored or something. Yeah. A 7 is like, that was pretty good. And then 8, 9, and 10 are like, it did something super for me.
If it wasn't on streaming, would you pay to own this movie?
That's an interesting question.
This answer is a lot of weight because we do spend money on movies very often.
Well, that's the only thing coming into play here is that I'm trying not to buy movies anymore for the most part. Like I've really cut down and I'm only getting the things that like Scream Factory just announced or just put up to pre-order the Return of the Living Dead.
Right.
And, like, they're putting out really good stuff.
And oh, for sure.
Some of that I still have to snatch up.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like this, no, I probably wouldn't buy it. Now, a year ago, yeah, I would have bought it.
Yeah. Okay, Rachel, 1 to 10.
3.
3. Oh, boy.
The lowest I've ever rated a movie.
No. Are you serious?
I think so. What? Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
All right.
I was disappointed.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. And Kevin?
I have no mercy. I'm giving it a 1. I'm
what?
Sorry. Good God.
I give it a 1 because of, they tried. 1 for effort.
You think this was as bad as Troll 2. Oh. You think this was as bad as the worst.
Oh, I would give Troll 2 a 1 too. I consider it equal. It's crap. I will never watch this movie
See,
ever
Troll
again.
See, Troll 2, I give a 3.
Troll 2, I give a 7.
Okay, so the average score is 5.
Not too bad.
All right.
Yeah. Own it, you guys.
I also did that to bring down the score of it.
Yeah, I just
to be honest with you. Can't let that happen.
You son of a bitch.
What are you supposed to be?
Remember the Russian satellite Sputnik? Well, I'm a potato or a spud, and these are my antenna. So Sputnik becomes Spudnik.
Sputnik.
Wow, I don't have the worst costume anymore.
Hey, all right, Ross came as Duty. No, I'm not Duty.
No, Space Duty.
The Rosses. Thank you guys so much for coming over.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
It was a pleasure.
This was a lot of fun. You guys definitely have to come back. We got to do one of the shitty movies that you own.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, do we have some.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we could even bring it over and just watch it together.
Excellent.
Like, yeah.
We'll do that. Yeah. All right, you guys, check out Real Rats. Download subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Are you guys on any other podcast platforms?
Stitcher?
Yeah,
Stitcher?
We're on Stitcher. Okay. And I think those are the only two
cool
that we're on.
Very good. Real Rats, and then at Real Rats on Instagram and at Real Rats on Twitter, and like their Facebook page so they can start using it a lot more, right? I mean, we only have like 78 likes or something like that on Facebook too. It's fine. But you guys, this was so much fun.
This was great.
We'll do
we
it again.
We need to do this more.
Agreed.
Yeah. That's it. We're done. Thank you to Kevin, the Rosses, Hard Girls, Donnelly Family Union for our theme music. Remember to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and BandEpod.com. Follow the Scariest Shit playlist on Spotify. It's new. We love it. We love music. Tune in next week as my good friend Tony Bonacci stops by the basement on a hill. And remember, you guys, Dr. Frankenfurter tells us best, a mental mindfuck can be nice. See you next week. Go Cubs!
The podcast you just heard is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by bmoviesandebooks.com.